Hello and welcome to another RunThinkShootLive.com podcast. I'm Philip, the owner and operator. And joining me today is Abraham Lee and Matt Roberts. Hello, gentlemen.
Hello. Hey.
All right, good. So Abraham and Matt were involved or made Local Motive, and we're going to be talking about that in a moment. But why don't we start with you, Abraham? Tell us a little bit about your gaming self.
Okay, well, I will be ashamed to admit that I actually played Half-Life 2 for the first time on the Xbox 360. And I...
yeah, shame on you.
But I still liked it, and then I went over to PC and started modding for it, and entered a couple competitions and made this mod.
And how long ago did you play Half-Life 2 on the Xbox then? How long ago was that?
It's 2011.
2011.
Yeah, okay. I'm relatively new to the scene.
Yeah, you are, aren't you? You're a baby. That's going to be your Abraham baby. That's going to be the new nickname. And have you played episode 1 and 2?
Yeah, the mod's made for episode 2. So, yeah, I've played through it all.
Okay, all right. But not on the Xbox.
Well, yes. Yes. Because I got the orange box, and so I played it through episode 2. And then I'm like, okay. I can make maps for this. Let me do that. And then I got it for the PC.
Oh, good. All right. And what about Half-Life 1?
I did play that on the PC, but a couple years after I played Half-Life 2. I have not played Opposing Force or Blue Shift.
Shock horror! You have to play Opposing Force. Opposing Force is fantastic. It's almost as good. Maybe even better than Half-Life.
Oh, okay. So, all right, I didn't know that.
Yeah, really. And it's like on sale quite a lot of the time, so you get it for like a few bucks or something. Okay. Definitely worth the money. Okay, all right, so... you'd finished playing Xbox and thought, well, I can do this. I can do, you know, what they've done. Did you play many mods before you sort of started making some maps?
Yes, because I actually learned about map making through the mods I heard about and through watching Darren Weeks or Custom Gamer, Daz, whatever he's going by today.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. So you played. Can you remember any of the ones that, like, you thought, wow, that was really cool?
No, not really.
It's all right. Okay. All right. And is that your main gaming activity now, sort of modding, or do you play like other games as well?
I play other first-person shooters when I can. Like I pick up Halo or Wolfenstein, but mostly been modding recently.
Yeah, that's what we want to hear. All right. So moving over to Matt. Matt, tell us a little bit about your gaming self.
Well, I've been a gamer pretty much all of my life. And if Abraham is a baby, I am a newborn. And I'm probably going to be labeled a heretic for this, but I first played Half-Life 2 in 2013.
Oh my god.
Or was it 2012? Either way, it's bad.
Nah, it's not bad, because if you've never come across it before, if you've never heard of it, I mean, I didn't play Half-Life 2 until 2 months after it was released, and I thought I was a bad boy for waiting so long. But it's not about how long you wait or, you know, when you get into it. It's how much you love it once you do get into it. That's the kind of the key.
But yes, I got into it.
Yeah,
loved it. And here I am.
All right, so do you do any modding yourself?
Well, the thing about it is I've never really done mods myself, but I've always been kind of fascinated by, like, video game storytelling in a way. And I guess you can say that's why I'm here. That and I decided to be a voice actor one day. I'm still relatively new, but Abraham gave me this opportunity. We talked about a story for a mod that we really liked, and that evolved into Local Motive.
Okay. So how do you know each other?
School.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, okay. I mean, that's sort of understandable. And Matt, have you played episode 1 and 2?
Yes, I have. And I've played...
But not on the Xbox. Don't say
no,
that.
No, not on the Xbox. I mean, what kind of terrible person would do that?
Oh, shut up.
But I actually got into Half-Life as a result of Abraham pushing me to play it, including the first game, which I did not believe was a survival horror game until played it.
All right, good. So, I mean, that's the kind of... I don't know whether they have this... Do you have the Scouts in America? You have the Scouts?
Boy Scouts?
Yeah, the Boy Scouts. Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah. There should be, like, a badge for introducing your friends to Half-Life.
Yes!
Really. That should be, like, the top badge. Once you've got that, you get all the other badges automatically, because the rest is just not important. All right, then. So, let's go back to Abraham for a second. Local Motive... was originally going to be for my Run, Think, Shoot, Live mapping challenge. Is that correct?
Yes, that is entirely correct.
All right, so take us through the beginning of the process then. You saw the post on my website and said, God damn it, I can do this. Yes?
Yeah, more or less. I was like, okay, I can do this. Had the idea for a train yard, the whole loop back sort of thing. And then I was like, well, what if I could make a citizen that the player had to capture or save or something to make this huge fight against the Metro Cops at the end? And then about that time, I was talking with Matt about making this character called Levi. And then I'm like, wait, I could bring Levi into this. And then I started experimenting with that. I'm like, okay, I'm not going to be able to do this for the competition. I'm just going to hold on to it and work on it more.
All right. Sorry, just trying to get it straight in my mind. I mean, the competition was for like 19 days. Did you realize quite early that you wouldn't make the comp, or it was like right close to the end you thought, okay, I'm really not going
to
do this?
I'll have to check the dates of the map files. I don't have them in front of me, but I think I made the basic layout, and that was about halfway toward the end of the competition time. So I made the basic layout, but at that point I should have been getting into like putting enemies down and stuff. And then I got the idea to put Levi in, and I'm like, okay, this isn't going to work out. And so, yeah.
Okay, all right. So let's talk about the name. What does it mean?
Well, Levi?
Funny thing about it.
No, Levi, no. He wears jeans all the time. No, but I meant local motive.
Oh, the name of the mod?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, because locomotion is like a science-y term. And I kind of wanted Levi to be almost the player's motive to sort of walk around in a way. And it all happened within a small space. So I'm like, okay, it's local motive. It's just kind of a play on words.
Okay. Yeah, I kind of see that. Because I was confused about the hyphen between the two. And it was like, okay, so locomotion. All right, okay. Yeah, I can kind of see that.
I would like to point out that Abraham was particularly famous for his puns in our group of friends.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah,
but like, and a locomotive is also like another name for a train, and so it kind of all comes together in a way.
Okay. I mean, you could, instead of calling Levi, you could have called him Loka. because then you would have had the motive to save Loka. It's like the Loka motive.
Hey, Freeman, name's Loka. Locomotive.
All right, fair enough. And at this point, Matt, what kind of involvement had you had? I mean, Abraham was sort of, you know, in his basement, for example, working away on his computer. I mean, were you involved at any point?
Well, what ended up happening was because he and I would talk a lot about game systems and all like that, in particular with Source games. And he was telling me that he was working on this mod, and we had started talking about this sort of mod based around these two characters, John and Levi, and they were going to kind of be foils to one another. But then Abraham got the idea to integrate Levi into the story. So I was trying to think, well, you know, how are we going to do that? So we chose the name Levi, I'm sorry, Abraham, because like, I've always been fascinated by video games or just characters in general whose names mean something. And Levi's name comes from the ancient, like, Hebrew name meaning something like to hold together. So, and originally he was meant to be this sort of go-to leader for a group of rebels. So he's kind of meant to just hold them together. So there's that. Funnily enough, his last name also means something. Durant, just before we were about to ship the mod, Abraham was like, hey, Matt, do you want to give him a last name? So I literally just looked up last name meanings and came across Durant, which means to endure or to sort of press forward. So holding together and enduring, which is what Levi does.
All right, that's kind of cool. I like when there's like... even if the player doesn't get to see it, there's like reasons for these things, because it makes everything, even if you can't notice it so much, it gives it like a backstory that makes it feel real, you know. So I like it when people go into those kind of details. And let's start right at the beginning of the mod. You're in the train car and you see the crates with the padlock on them. and I'm like, okay, this is a question for Abraham here. It's really a case of, at first I was like, why did you do that? Why would you show me something I can't get? But obviously, you know, you come back to it. But I mean, did you put those there right at the beginning, or was that something that you said, okay, well, we can put them those there now that they go back? Or was that, it was the whole plan to have the runaround?
I'm trying to remember, because that train yard, while maintaining the same basic layout, changed a lot in terms of what was in it. I don't think I had those there originally, but when I ran into the problem of resupplying the player on the way back, I was like, oh, okay, I can add a padlock here and put these grates and stuff behind it. It's actually an interesting thing you also mentioned about the intro is originally Levi was going to get captured inside that boxcar before he ended up leading you around during the chase sequence as well.
Okay. All right. And let's talk about that sequence right at the beginning. Is he supposed to be the G-Man talking, or is it the G-Man's talking through him?
It's a little bit of both. I kind of wanted a custom G-Man intro, and Matt said he could do it. And then we got the idea of sort of having the G-Man talking through him. So, because Matt, you know, Matt doesn't, no offense, Matt, but you don't sound like the voice actor who plays the G-Man.
Yeah, funny story. I tried to do G-Man, but it ended up not working. But in the end, it actually ended up working pretty well, because it does seem like he's talking through Levi. So crappy voice acting saved the day.
Yeah, because that's what I thought, because doing the voices from the games is really difficult. Yes. Even professionals would struggle to do this. And in fact, it's like a topical point at the moment. You maybe have heard about Prospect, which was released. And I was complaining a lot about the Vortigaunt voices, because they're just not really close enough to the originals. But when I watched yours, at first I thought, okay, this is a really bad G-Man. But then I thought, okay, no, because you've got the G-Man, he's moving his lips, and then Levi's moving his lips. So it kind of works really well that it is G-Man, but through Levi, with a little bit of both voices, because that was kind of the feeling I got anyway.
It was like the sound of Levi's voice, but with the G-Man's inflections.
Yeah, exactly. So that kind of went well. And then how much work was it to sort of get that actual scene going where, you know, he's like held from behind and all of that? I mean, is that like a lot of work to get doing? Because for me, that's not mapping. That's modding.
Yeah, yeah.
So was it hard?
It wasn't that hard, mainly because I copied half of the stuff from Valve's maps. And the other reason is I had done other custom animation that you see later on in the mod first. So I was able to like go in, access those old files, and just kind of stop them at a certain point and just time them. I'm still kind of annoyed though, because some of them misaligned. But
And
the intro was actually added relatively late. For the most part, it wasn't until like the second or last version you see in the map files that the intro was added. And it was relatively quick and painless. Just had to quickly look how like some mapping entities worked, and I got it to work fine.
All right, that's good. And then I drop down into the sort of the basement area. He closes the door, and then he's dragged away. That was so cool. I really like that part. That was really good. And then we're presented with what I presume is like the first, you know, the Think, because we've had the run, and now we've got the Think, and that particular puzzle of getting the suit charger. That's my favorite puzzle of all time. So
what's interesting about that is when you picked it up with the shovel, because I saw your stream action. When you picked it up with the shovel, I actually didn't think of doing it that way. I put the shovel there expected the player to hook the shovel around the battery and kind of scoot it towards them. And it was actually, I don't know, I just kind of put that in there. I'm like, okay, well, if someone finds this. And even through testing, most people didn't. Well, just like, I don't know how to get that battery. I don't know what's up with it. But yeah, I've seen a couple of playthroughs where people have found, like, getting a piece of wood and kind of throwing it in there and the wood kind of floating the battery back and seeing the difference.
Just tell me again, what was your plan for getting it out?
That they would take the shovel and sort of use the edge of the shovel to kind of hook it and bring it out instead of using the shovel to lift it up, which is actually a lot smarter and easier, and I had never thought of that.
All right. Well, but, I mean, you sort of set the puzzle up, and sometimes people find alternative solutions to that. But But I thought that was really good. And the problem is that I haven't added any more screenshots to the page. So I'm kind of... what I normally do when I talk about a mod is I go through the screenshots and I look at all of them and I sort of start talking about different areas. So actually, you're going to have to remember now about your mount.
Okay.
Mod. Once we go into the basement, tell us what happens there and sort of the process behind building some of those sections.
Okay, if you actually check out the earlier versions of the level, that sewer area was entirely different. It was just a straight shot to that sort of pipe puzzle where you had to push it with the gravity gun, and then went from there straight to the plug puzzle with the elevator in the original version.
Oh, yeah, the pipe puzzle. That's right, yeah. Okay, so the big pipe and push that along. That went smoothly, both in the fact that it was moving nicely, but also it's a fairly simple idea, but it worked really well. I mean, did you like plan that out on paper or something?
I put that in there originally as sort of a gravity gun gate, so the player had to pick up the gravity gun to move the pipe.
Okay.
But then through testing, it was just there were times like I like how the Let's Plays and playthroughs I've watched so far, people have gotten to push the pipe relatively quickly. But in testing, it was, people would get stuck in that room for like an hour. And then
it took me 20 minutes.
Oh, yeah. You tested it, Matt. I forgot about that. Yeah, it was eventually I added a barnacle to the ceiling and made the pipe move, sway a little bit when you stepped on it. And then it started working out a lot better. But yeah, that was in there from the original planning, just to gate the gravity gun.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I mean, I think I realized what I needed to do once I stepped on it and it started swinging. It was, you know, that was good. And then what was the next section?
Originally, it went straight to this sort of these plugs you had to use to turn on the elevator. But in the release version, there's a little turret bit where there's a turret guarding this sort of hallway and you have to figure out how to take it out.
Okay. Yep, I'm trying to work my way through that. All right, so tell us about the plugs. Did you see my stream where I kind of got stuck?
Yes. Those plugs I have been getting stuck throughout testing, and I tried to do my best to sort of fix them, but it couldn't work out. I think you might be able to pull it back and get it unstuck in the fence, but yeah, it's something.
Yeah, I'm not complaining. I do realize that sometimes there are limitations in the engine, and as a modder, you can sometimes work around them by not designing things, you know, in some ways. But sometimes you just design it, and it was a nice, interesting puzzle. But I just got stuck, and okay, so I just have to reload. You know, it's not really a problem.
Interesting point about the plugs is originally setting those plugs is that I had to sort of hack the game to have both ends of the plug plugged in at the start. I had to like teleport something, like wake. It was a complicated mess because normally, when you see the original version of the puzzle in episode 2, the one end of the plug's just plugged in. So I had to kind of do some fancy command stuff to get it to be plugged in on both ends.
Okay, so it looks simple for the player, but the reality is actually making it was a lot harder. All right, okay. So then you...
A quick note about the turret bit is a lot of people got sort of lost and confused there. And I can, in retrospect, I see why. But there's actually three or four different ways to take out that turret. There's this sort of vent hidden in the ceiling that I think you found that you can take to kind of go around the side and ignite the barrels. There's actually a pistol hidden in the sewers you can use to ignite the barrels from afar, or you can just take the barrel and sort of block the turret's fire.
All right, well, that's good. I mean, it's always good if you build in multiple ways so that, you know, one idiot finds the other way and then another idiot finds the special way and, you know, the way you expected it. So, Matt, what about you for beta testing? You mentioned that you sort of tested these things. Did you go through many different versions with Abraham?
Funnily enough, I didn't go through too many variations myself, even though, you know, I was working on the mod from day one with him. Another fun thing about it is when it comes to FPSs like Half-Life, I played TF2 a lot, and Abraham would comment how I would flail about like a scout while trying to find something. I believe one time, what was it? There was one part of the map where I was running so fast that I forgot to like pick up something, and Abraham commented on it.
Okay. Yeah, I suppose that people who play a lot of MP kind of games aren't necessarily the best kind of people to test for single player, and of course vice versa. Right. You know,
Honestly, okay. Also, mainly, I didn't have Matt test all that much because I kind of wanted him to see, be surprised by sort of Levi's final character and the voice acting for all that. So I kind of limited it to some other people I knew, just to, you know, surprise friends and stuff like that.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I fully understand that. All right, so we're in the lift now. I've got the lift working because I've got all the plugs working. And what do I do? I go up or down?
Yeah, go up into the sort of storage room where the Metro cops are.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Keep talking while I remember.
You go up, you overhear a conversation of Levi, which there's also a cameo of Levi in the sewers, but a lot of people missed it. He sort of gets thrown out of a train car, but that's beside the point.
Okay.
But you get, and then you kind of open the door, a Metro cop points you out, runs away, and you're in this sort of almost garage with a bunch of tall shelves with like explosive barrels and stuff, and the Metro cop starts shooting you.
Yeah.
You have the gravity gun and the crowbar, and there's those little canisters that shoot about.
Oh, did you see what happened to me?
Yes,
came straight back in the face.
I just had to say, we love that so much that I actually pestered Abraham to add some sort of line about that to Levi.
Yeah,
but we didn't end up doing
it. If or when ever he comes back, that'd be an amazing reference to make.
Yes.
Yeah, it would be. It'd be quite funny, wouldn't it? And did you see what happened to me when I put one of those in the lift?
No, that's
as
what
well?
We're talking about. We were thinking about it in
the lift. Oh, I thought you were talking about. Yeah. Some kind of reference, like, don't put one of those in the lift because it's going to work out bad. Or something. Yes. What could go wrong? No, what I was talking about was the first time I fired one or I hit the end of it, it just sort of went off and then it turned around and came straight back and hit me in the head.
Yeah.
And it was like, what happened? I was just surprised. It was really quite funny.
Actually,
all right, good.
Sorry, just a quick note about the canisters is they almost got cut during testing because people either didn't know how they worked or they weren't all that effective, or as some people found out, they're really sensitive to exploding, like, really violently and doing a ton of damage. Because, unlike the explosive barrels where they sort of ignite first, these canisters just blow up instantly.
They do.
Yeah, so I almost cut them, but judging by some of the recommendations and reviews, people actually really enjoyed the canisters, so I'm glad I left them in.
Yeah, no, definitely. Absolutely. Are they technically called canisters?
They're Fizz_canister, right. I think.
No, really, because we got to have a Canisterville, haven't we? You know, destroy the world with your canisters, because that would be so much fun. Survive the 10,000 canisters.
One of the problems with canisters is that if too many of them, like, sort of blow up at once, it will crash the game. So I was really careful about putting, like, one canister in each floor and trying not to put them next to each other on the off chance the game would crash.
That can be the danger for your next mod, is you have to get through the level without crashing the game.
Yeah, could be. Or we could, instead of having a gnome that you've got to get to the end, you've got to get a canister to the
end.
Because that'd be like really dangerous. That'd be like quite fun, wouldn't it? Yeah. All right, now that particular area, just going back to where I kind of killed everybody in the lift, that was a really nice area because you used it sort of like twice. I got in and then I sort of rescued those two guys. And was one of them Levi? I can't remember.
Yeah, yeah. You rescued Levi.
Levi.
You should probably save everyone else. And you press the button and save everyone else.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. But then once you sort of rescued them, then you come back out again and you've got like another area. So in terms of how much gameplay you got in a small space, you actually got like quite a lot, and it was complicated enough to make it worth exploring, but not complicated enough that you kind of got lost and you thought you're just running around in a circle. How much testing did that section go through?
Originally, the first floor didn't change all that much. I kind of changed around the number of Metro cops and how they spotted you, but the second floor was originally a stealth section, and as you've probably guessed, stealth doesn't work all that well in Half-Life 2, so I had to cut out some bits of the section, and I'm remembering all this now. The citizens were on one end of the hallway where there's now a supply cache, and Levi was like on the other, or the control room was on the other. I don't even remember if Levi was in there at this point, and that was sort of confusing and difficult trying to get the player to both unlock everything and rescue the citizens all at the same time. And so having to figure out the geometry of where the player should go and how I should control this experience was kind of tough.
Okay. And that particular area at the top sort of leads to the... It's not exactly a wow moment, but it's almost a wow moment where you get to see the outside and you're like, okay, I've seen it now. Get me out there. I want to kill shit. So it was good that you put glass there. Otherwise, if you'd have put that in some other area, it wouldn't have made such an impact.
It was sort of intentional, but I didn't realize how big of a moment it would be until I saw other people play it. Because, like, I was just kind of like, oh, I'm just going to add these windows here because I need windows on the building. But then I suddenly realized that you never see the outside until you're on the second floor. And it wasn't until after release I was like, oh, wow, this actually works out pretty well.
Yeah, it does. It does. So then you get back, you get outside.
After of course, seeing Levi get his face thrown against a desk.
Okay, yeah.
Like, being held hostage and he gets thrown against the wall or the desk or whatever.
Did it hurt, Matt?
Funnily enough, we use the latest in motion capture technology, and I literally broke my nose.
Yeah, you should have said to him, look, for us to get a real feel here, I'm going to have to smash your head on the table just a few times, just so you get that feeling of realism, like method voice.
Although,
acting,
funnily enough, about that scene, originally, as you were crawling through the air ducts, we were going to have Levi say some lines to kind of intimidate the Combine soldier because, you know, Freeman's breaking in now, so it's only a matter of time. He was going to say something like, you know, how does it feel now that you're the ones captured or something like that.
Yeah, he was kind of like, how does it feel for you to be oppressed and chased and scared, hiding in the corner? Some ironic thing like that, but then the vent ended up being so small, we were like, never mind, let's not add that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It would be quite interesting to see how many things that you took out or how many changes, you know. I bet if you made a video sort of detailing all the changes to the level and things that you took out, it'd be really popular. I think other modders would be very interesting to see the changes because as players, we only ever get to see one version, more or less, at least in single player.
Yeah.
But a mapper understands that it's a dynamic process. It's a living process. It's not just one room that you build and that's it. No, you make changes.
All of the earlier versions of the level, the VMFs or the map files for that are in the in the final release if people want to take a look at it.
Okay. Yeah, but that's only good if you know how to use hammer. Yeah, and of course, I think players would be quite interested to see sort of how it evolved as well, you know. Okay, so then we get outside. And this is the big battle now. And talk me through how much that changed from the original plan.
Okay, it didn't change all that much, but I had... Well, the way the battle went didn't change all that much. The thing that changed a lot, though, was the geometry of the battle and sort of the stuff that happened during it. Like, that doesn't make a lot of sense. But originally, there was not a train car in that opening yard. And during testing, when the Beta Testers Collective was still around, I realized that the player got pinned inside of the... garage area too much, so I had to literally move half the map and add that yard, and then I had to modify the sewer section and add that turret bit because now there was a giant gap there, you know.
But once
I added that, everything else flowed nicely, and I was able to get Levi's sort of combat lines working and playing those throughout the entire fight, where he was like, go get him, and making a bunch of like what are some of his lines. We've got better things to do today than they. If you're going through hell, keep going, which is a Churchill reference. And Freeman's got our back and various other, like, getting pumped sort of lines.
Yeah, they're cool. I mean, having all of those little extra lines all adds to the feeling that, you know, this is built specifically for what's happening. It's not like we're reusing things. We're building anew. Is it something that you'd recommend to other modders, or looking back, was it like, wow, it was so much work to get Levi working?
I honestly want to make another Levi character almost, and like even have two of them or something. But it is go ahead.
I was about to say we've already started talking about what happened after the map.
Oh yeah. We started doing a rough outline of what would happen after the end of the mod, but yeah, It's tough. I think I have over, like, what was it, Matt? 200?
Oh, God. Yeah, it was...
There's, like, a bunch of scene files, and that's scene files, not individual lines. So
yeah, it's a it's roughly one metric buttload of hard drive space.
Okay, so for like each minute, it's like 3 hours worth of work, or each second or something. It's one of those type of things.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed it, but it takes a lot to get going. But once you're in the flow of it, and if anyone's planning on doing this, please don't do what I did and do temporary voice lines. I just put that out there.
Oh, God, are you going to tell that story?
Yes, he is.
Well, the story of...
Yeah, tell the story.
Well, we ended up re-recording things a whole lot. Like, originally, the helicopter was a gunship, and so we had a whole set of lines as if the helicopter for a gunship. And then testing turned out the gunship wasn't going to work, and so we had to re-record everything for it to be a helicopter. And there were some funny lines in there that are still in the mod but aren't used anymore.
Where Levi
where Levi sort of mocks the gunship sounds. And like says like a wooga, and during recording we're kind of like, okay, Matt, just make a gunship sound. He's like, I don't know what that sounds like.
I will never forget that day, because what happened was I was sitting in my sort of studio space and Abraham was working with the laptop to record it, and I was like screaming at the top of my lungs. Just a warning for headphone users. Ooga. See, yes. I can make that too.
Yeah, that was the line.
Okay, it sounds kind of fun. I mean, it sounds like you had a lot of fun making it together.
Oh, yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. The way that we kind of describe Levi as a character, at least from my side of it, is he's like one of those characters that you'll have him in the video game, and he'll mention some sort of like backstory and all. And you don't really see it for yourself, but then you look up his Wikia page and he has this like huge troubling backstory.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be kind of cool if you did make another mod and he made another appearance. He wouldn't have to necessarily be the main character, but he could reference, do you remember that time with the train yard? Yeah. You know, something like that.
Had many, many joke lines.
Oh yeah. Like, I didn't realize until halfway, I finished animating that Levi gets hit in the face a whole bunch. Like, he gets his face, he gets thrown on the ground, hits his face, gets knocked out, hits his face, gets his face thrown against the desk. So relatively late in development, I added the line, does my face look red for Levi? And then there's this one time, it was around the time of City Streetsville, when that came out, that I was testing this, and Levi had accidentally walked up onto a chair. And then I was like, oh, wait, what are you doing up there? And then he sort of tries to walk off the chair, but the chair, like, freaks out, and Levi just dies. And I was just cracking up so hard. I was telling Matt about this, and we ended up making the line, I don't feel comfortable around chairs, or something like that.
Yeah, it's like an idle line, and, like, no one would get it, but we just felt like it was worth it because... What was it? It's either a Q line or an A line where he just goes, you know, I've never felt comfortable around chairs.
Yeah, it's a question
just
line.
Just nothing else.
Yeah, then one of the citizens will say something like, you're talking to me? Or some things I never get used to.
I'm sorry we're kind of going on about this, but I just had to tell the story of one line in particular.
All right, go ahead.
Okay, yeah, Abraham knows which one I'm talking about. So there came a point in development when we realized we had too many joke lines. And are you familiar with Silent Hill 2, Philip?
No.
Okay, well, it's a horror game, one of my favorite games of all time. And normally it's very atmospheric, very tense and all. But there's this one scene that's, like, really silly where a character has walked in on his friend and the town is just full of monsters, but he's just sitting here in this bully alley, like, eating pizza. And he says, "This town is full of monsters. How can you just sit there and eat pizza?" And it's one of my favorite lines ever. It's so amazing. So we actually added something in the game at first where if you stood still for like a minute and a half or something like that, Levi would look at you and just really like say, what was it? How can you stand there and think of pizza?
Yeah. And I thought I had cut it. And because I thought I had cut it because some of the other joke lines weren't working. And then after I released it, I was looking through the script files and I'm like, oh, I left it in there.
It's still dated in.
Yeah.
Do you think anybody would find it though? I mean, a minute is quite a long time to actually just not be moving.
Yeah. It's one of those stale lines that sort of end up accidentally triggering from the citizens. And I've had it trigger sometimes in an elevator. So I'm not too surprised if a player like has to go get some coffee or like is like something comes up and they just don't touch the mouse for a little bit, and then Levi will probably say the line when he comes back.
Yeah, that's all the right, cool. Idea of it too, is that because, you know, it takes a while to play, that way people wouldn't go through their first time in locomotive just hearing Levi talk about how he's scared of chairs and how someone's thinking of pizza.
Yeah. There's also a line where if the player kills an enemy with a chair and Levi's like paying attention in his AI, he'll say like, oh, the chairs strike again, something like that.
Okay. But of course, these are all in jokes, and they don't, unless they listen to this podcast now, or you know, they've read about it specifically. But
yeah,
it wouldn't make sense. But within the mod, it's like just something kind of fun to happen.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. Even if it doesn't make sense, it's still, you know, just like a stupid funny line.
It's funny in itself, but it has a backstory, so that's kind of
kind of reminds me of Halo was one of the video games I take a lot of inspiration from, and they have a bunch of in-jokes in their company that they make reference to all the time in their games. I'm like, okay, you know, if the professionals can do it, then, you know.
Yeah, why not us? Let me be honest. I was expecting Levi to be a traitor.
Really?
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. There's no way that I'm like, this guy's way too nice. he's going to stab me in the back the first chance he gets. So when he didn't turn out to be a traitor, I was like, yay. But then I was like, ooh, because, you know, I was trying to be really clever and thinking that I'd figured out the story right from the beginning and everything. Did it ever cross your mind for him to to be a bad guy?
We always wanted Levi to be sort of be a heroic character in a way.
That is a really interesting take on him, though.
He's too nice.
I think a lot of people would think that. I mean, often in these sort of situations, in mods anyway, you know, somebody's helping you and you think, you know. I mean, I'm not talking about the average citizen who gives you a little bit of ammo or sticks a syringe in you. Just ones that are built around somebody helping you. I can't remember the name of the mod now, but there was one and it was like, yeah, this guy's definitely a baddie. and it was like... Not right at the beginning when you're in the train car, when you first encounter him, but a little bit later on, once I've rescued him, I'm thinking, okay, something fishy about this guy. He's not quite right.
Hey, Freeman, would you kindly flip that switch?
Yeah, exactly. Sorry, he didn't know he was going to do that. So you get into the car, you know, you kill the helicopter. Well, you don't kill the helicopter. Is it possible to destroy the helicopter?
No, I made sure it wasn't.
All right,
Cheating the game,
No, not really, because, I mean, sometimes you need to force the player to do things. Yeah. I mean, if you'd left lots of rockets around, then that would have been cheating the player.
Sorry, that just reminded me. There was this. I was testing with the BTC, and there was a Levi line where he talked about, he was kind of jokingly saying he had a rocket launcher. Like, oh, I've got, you hate rockets, right? Well, I've got rocket pockets or something weird like that. And during testing, people got really confused because they were like, wait, is he going to throw me an RPG? I don't understand. And I'm like, face-palming, like, no, it's a joke. It doesn't, oh, man, and I had to cut it.
Okay, yeah, because sometimes you think you're being funny, but you're actually giving signals in the wrong way. So.
Yeah, I learned, especially after at least seeing some people get lost, I've learned a valuable lesson in audio cues and, like, video game writing.
Okay. So, I managed to get to the new car and I pressed the button and I'm like, wait, I'm leaving them all behind. I felt bad. Did you realize that? That you what you're actually doing is you're sending the hero away. I'm a hero. I mean, I play as Freeman. I want to save the world. Yeah. So by stopping me from helping these guys, I felt like a real shit that I just got on the train and I pressed the button and it was like, screw you guys. I'm out of here.
That was sort of the feeling I was going for. Yeah, where like things are bad. Levi has to stay behind, and he's like, "Okay, Doc, you go on." And then the other two citizens, if they live this far, get killed by the chopper, and you just kind of run away as the entire place gets overrun. And that was sort of the idea I was going with.
Okay. And all right. Then I need to warn you. You got to be careful with people's emotions, because I got this feeling of being a really horrible person. I mean, I don't want to play games to feel horrible. I've got real life to do that. I can go out and be horrible to people in real life. In a game, I want to be the hero. I want to be the good guy. So think more carefully about how you mess with people's emotions next time.
And that's sort of what the final dialogue you hear at the end during the whole credit sequence. Was sort of, you're like there feeling bad, and then you hear the radio transmissions, and they're supposed to imply the fact that Levi got captured again. And then like, oh man, I feel really bad now. And then at the end, it's implied that Nova Prospect blows up and derails Levi's train. And so then Levi actually ends up living in the end. And you're like, okay, maybe it's not all bad.
Yeah, only for him to be let down by somebody else. He must be, you know, one of these kind of people that just hate other people. But they'll keep trying because maybe one person one day will be nice to me. You know,
yeah, we're going to, like, get to the sequel, and it's going to be Locomotive 2, Levi's Revenge.
He has a scar on one side, like a smoke.
He has an eye patch.
Yeah, an eye patch.
Yeah, so it starts out like episode 2 started, you know, with the train crash. And it's going to be like, I'm going to get me some Freeman now. it's all about finding Freeman and killing him for leaving him behind or something.
Yeah.
All right, let's get back to seriousness. I've got a time machine. I can take you back in time. What would you do different about the general planning of the mod? Anything?
Temporary voice lines, definitely. And okay.
Can you tell us why, though? Why not temporary voice lines? Simply because you had to re-record them because you changed the gunship to a helicopter, or because or another reason?
Mainly for that, because there was, like, so we had several lines. That sequence is the one that comes to mind the most, but I think there were also some other lines that we had to re-record several times, like the entire ambush by the soldiers in the tower. Originally, it was a lot longer or a lot shorter, and we, as testing went on, we ended up having to re-record that several times to sort of get the pacing right. And even now, the pacing isn't all that great either. And so I would like to have done temporary voice lines just to be able to iterate a lot faster, because I'd have to arrange with Matt, set time to record, and then I'd come back later and be like, okay, we need to re-record this line to start working with lip sync or something. And we'd go back, record it. Oh, I have these other lines too. And it would have just worked a lot faster if I had recorded it myself, tested with those lines, and then got Matt to do
it. As a note from my perspective about that, The mod is only like, you know, 20 to 40 minutes ish on its own.
Yeah.
But I learned very quickly that voice acting takes a lot more time than you think it does.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Just trying to get a line just right and making sure that it works well enough in the audio software you're using or whatever to get it all lip synced properly.
Having to try to stay constant the whole time so that you don't get like, you know, hey look, soldiers over there kind of stuff. And
yeah.
Having to like take care of your voice while you do it as well. It's
combat
if you're doing
lines.
A long set, it's difficult. Okay, so that would be that. Anything else that you'd like to change?
I would like to have gotten more use out of the Combine Soldiers at the end, because like, I mean, I'm a huge fan of the Combine Soldier AI, but I don't feel like it's ever utilized well enough, and I would have liked to have made a more Combine Soldier tailored experience toward the end there. But I mean, in the end it works out fine, but I mean, like, it's not the best example of their AI, and I would have liked to have showcased that more, but given the circumstances I couldn't really.
Okay, all right. What are you most proud of? What particular section, what, you know, combat scene, and anything in particular?
I sort of have two. It's the fight to the tower with the Metro Cops. I just like that fight just turned out really well, exactly as envisioned it. People loved it, and it, and I just enjoyed it. Got to use the standoff AI, and then the sewer section, because after I had scrapped that like three different times, once I started building it with exploration in mind, even though some people got lost, I ended up enjoying building that a lot more. And Levi, of course, but I mean, you know.
Yeah. Matt, what about you? I mean, the whole process for you, what was kind of like interesting?
I guess, that's a toughie for me because, of course, you know, we like to say he did probably 70-80% and I did the other 20. So I had a much different experience working on the mod than Abraham did. But I guess my favorite part of the whole experience was after we released it, seeing the reviews come in that that people like actually liked working with Levi, because one of my greatest fears for him was that he was going to be another, you know, like Ashley Graham from Resident Evil type character that, you know, people don't want to around and they think they're annoying or something. So seeing that people liked him was my favorite part of the experience. And I guess the equivalent is my favorite line that I delivered. Either the final sort of thing with Levi where he says, I'll see you on the other side, or the, there was one section that not a lot of people saw where, if you go back to one of the torture rooms after you've rescued the citizens, Levi talks about a friend of his called Simon who had, he was really close friends with him and he ended up getting killed in the events of Locomotive, but not a lot of people saw it, so.
Yeah, he's actually hidden in the interrogation room that there's sort of a sliding thing in it. And once you free Levi, there's a way to get in there and unlock it, and it will trigger a scene where Levi talks about him.
All right, I love details like this where there's like replayability, not just because it's fun to play the combat sections, but because there's, you know, a bit more depth to it in the sense that, you know, you've got sections that you have to work hard to find. And stuff
which,
like
on
that.
A side note, is something I kind of wanted to. I didn't really get sort of fully fleshed out in the mod, but I wanted to try and make sections where the secret wasn't like an item or something, but the secret was a bit of story. Like Levi would say something, or you'd find like a character like just slumped up against the wall who had shot himself, or like little visual storytellings was the reward instead of like something more physical, like an
like
item.
A cache of ammo or something. Yeah. All right, good. So now, the future, I mean, we sort of, you mentioned joking about, you know, a second part, but I mean, Matt, you're working on G-String at the moment, aren't you?
Well, I've already done all of my lines for it. It's
okay, all right, yeah, me too. I did mine like, I don't know, 18 months ago, I think.
Yeah,
now.
Ironically, G-String, the mod you're talking about, was actually the first time I voice acted. So it had a different mic. Oh, yeah, it had a different mic quality and all, and I was kind of awkward and nervous. But, I mean, I'm excited for it to come out. It really looks like an amazing mod. I'd like to think Levi is my first sort of real gig, you know, because he's kind of a main character there and all. And I think he was a good introduction character because Levi is meant to be kind of awkward and, you know, a little bit uncomfortable with himself, which... being the first time I was voice acting, of course, I felt kind of like that. So I think it was a good introduction for him.
And you're looking for more voice acting work?
Oh, yes. Yes, absolutely.
All right. Okay. And what about you, Abraham? Are you thinking about entering any of the Hammer Cup challenges?
Well, I saw Liberationville, and I'm like, well thanks, Philip. The last two maps I released have been liberating things. Now what am I going to do? But yeah, I've got an idea. I'm probably going to be testing with it this weekend. Don't know if I'm going to be able to finish it, though.
Yeah,
I mean, really, sorry to interrupt, Matt, but I suppose that Locomotive is kind of about liberating. It's liberating Freeman, you know, and it's liberating Levi. So, yeah, sorry about that.
And there was also the map I released earlier for Crossover Field was about freeing citizens, too. I'm like, well, I've done this two times, right? I don't know if I should do it again. But I came up with a different idea, and I think I can get it working.
All right, good. And in the longer term, just keep on making mods, or do you have any particular, you know, ambitions?
No, I just like to keep this as a hobby. And I'm hoping one day to bring Levi back, because I think that'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it would.
All right, cool. It would, yeah. And any advice to mappers who just are getting started, you know, just a couple of, like a line, you know, do it this way, or, you know, what would you say to mappers who are just getting started?
Start small, because it's going to take you a lot longer than you think.
Oh, great advice. Great advice.
This mod took me almost half a year to finish, and it's one map.
So if it's done properly, it's going to take a lot longer than you expect.
Yeah.
Right,
even if it's done unproperly.
All right, well, thank you for...
You know, sorry? Even if it's done unproperly, it's going to take a lot longer than you expect.
Okay, fair enough. Now, was there anything that you expected me to ask about but I didn't? But the problem was that because I've got such a bad memory and I've just finished playing Prospect, I've got all of that stuff going through my head, I actually forgot a lot about what happened in the mod. But was there anything you expected me to ask and I didn't?
Let's see, we mentioned the joke lines. There's something else I wanted to say about... Say again?
Nothing I can really think of. I mean, it's pretty much all the questions I expected would be asked.
Yeah, we mentioned... Okay, there was one thing I wanted to say. A lot of one of the fight lines, we've got better things to do today than die, that you really liked was actually a reference to the Transformers movie that came out back in the 80s, I think.
Oh, okay.
And there's also another fight line I really liked, which is, this is for Ravenholm, which I think just which I don't know, it's such a small line, but I just really like the way it kind of weaves the story together.
Yeah,
I don't remember hearing that, but...
Yeah, it's random, so...
Well, one of the things about that line for Ravenholm is while we were developing the characters, because originally Levi and another character were supposed to foil one another, Levi became a lot more realistic and well-rounded as development went along. And we kind of started talking about his motivations for joining the Rebellion and all. And his sort of thing, the gimmick we kind of came up for him at first was he was kind of a reluctant rebel in a way. Because, you know, while he wants to be free of the Combine and their hold on the world, you know, he's not really one to do dangerous things. And the line about Ravenholm talked about, we had a story, what was it? It was his sister had some sort of medication need, and that's why he became a medic, so that he could get better access to it. And she ended up dying in Ravenholm, so...
Yeah, during the headcrab shelling that you see at the end of Half-Life. And you see the effects of during Half-Life 2.
Okay. All right. Cool. So I just wanted to apologize very quickly for sort of going into God mode and sort of getting out the
I was like, oh no, I forgot to clip that. Philip, how dare you? Stop that.
Actually, I think in somebody else in the reviews, they said that they managed to do it as well.
Yeah.
It was kind of cheating because I was in God mode, but it wasn't like no clipping. It was like a place you could actually get to if you had enough health and you were good at jumping and you were fast enough.
And I think the dude in the reviews who found it actually, he did it before the helicopter arrived. So, gameplay. Much to my...
Yeah, so... Just, I mean, you've probably seen enough of my streams or read enough of my reviews, but if I don't try and get out of a map, then I haven't had enough fun playing it. Because I've got to get out. All right, great.
Just got to stack everything.
I do, yeah. I mean, that's got to be my nickname, isn't it? Stacker. That's what should be my nickname. So thank you very much, both of you, for taking the time.
Well, thank you.
Oh yeah, thank you. Sorry.
That's okay. I wasn't actually waiting for a thanks. I was just waiting for you to say something. So keep working hard on whatever it is that you're doing, because, you know, we love your work, so we really want to see more of it. And remember, finishing Half-Life is just the beginning.
Yep.
See ya. Goodbye. Bye.
Thank you for downloading and listening to this podcast from runthinkshootlive.com. For more podcasts, including exclusive interviews and roundtable chats, please visit runthinkshootlive.com/listen. Remember, finishing Half-Life is just the beginning. Runthinkshootlive.com lists and reviews single-player maps and mods from the Half-Life series of games.